Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It's a good one. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Cracker Station.
Oh, that would be a little weird.
It's spelled like Uncle Cracker, too. It's
spelled. Oh, that's great. Follow me and everything is all right. My dad went through a phase where he was an Uncle Cracker fan. I don't know how that happened, but he apparently
went through that phase.
He asked for an Uncle Cracker album. It was the one with like Drift Away and
yeah the only one he had, you
Christmas.
Mean?
I don't remember another album, but yeah. I'm sure he's put out more albums, but
I want to see the Uncle Cracker discography. How deep is it? It's Uncle Cracker. It's the debut,
you know,
then it's remastered.
I celebrate the entire catalog of
Uncle Cracker. Yes, well, you're ever in Cracker Station. Yeah. I don't know if it's named after him or not.
Uncle Cracker was like part of Kid Rock's ensemble, wasn't he? Isn't that where he came from?
Yes, that is correct.
And then he just like he somehow got off on his own. I don't know how that happened, but
it was a thing for like a year.
He was a thing. There was like a run there of guys that looked like the people that you avoid at Walmart. Being some of the biggest stars in like rock music.
Them, Sugar Ray.
Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit.
That's a good one.
Kid Rock.
Korn.
Korn, yep.
I have one. Oh, the guy just passed away. I feel bad. But remember Crazy Town? Those two guys.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a
great
wild time in music.
Got a great time for music.
But I loved it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Still, if Limp Bizkit comes on my Spotify today, I'll listen to it.
Yeah.
I will Blair Break Stuff in my truck.
Were you at the home when they played Break Stuff? I think it was me and you. We were like, "What? This is great! They're playing Break Stuff."
But one day it was like I think it was the kids' day.
Yeah.
Like before the kids got there. You look down there, and that DJ Cujo guy just like starts playing. Darn it.
Yeah.
Darn it. I'm like, wait, whoa. Is that Break Stuff?
It was.
We're off to a great start. It was like 10 a.m. on a Tuesday or whatever.
That's what you need. That's how you get the day started. Wherever you
it's
are in our great state,
days.
You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Don't break your coffee mug. Drink Strange Brew Coffee. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com.
And if you have young children and you're riding down the road right now and you're thinking, let me look up Break Stuff and see.
Don't do it. No, don't do that. Can you imagine the kids' bop version of Limp Bizkit of Break Stuff? Give me something to break.
Everybody stinks.
Everything's messed up. You just want to justify telling someone off. Now I really want to hear the kids bop version of Break Stuff. I got to be honest.
Please.
With you. Pep Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. Guys, I would suggest you go to I've been telling you about this flyer that I have, and I'm like, how can I get, I forget they have a website. Go to pipridgeland.com. That's the website, pipridgeland.com, and you can get an idea of all of the services that Pip Printing and Signs offers you. If you think they're just a place that creates some mailers for you, you're way off on that. They can do just about anything your business needs from a marketing standpoint. So if you're a business owner, if you work in your business, if you're in accounts or anything like that, and you have some say over the printing budget of your business, you need to give Pitt Printing and Signs a call and see what they can do for you. Call Cam Baker at 601-499-5216. You can speak to him directly. That is his number. That's the level of service we're talking about, that I'm giving you the owner of the company's number to deal with him directly. You don't get that with anybody else, I promise. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. All right, guys, I'm going to make a confession here. It's confession time. So I feel like I've backed myself into a corner here, Robbie. I've been so adamant about the interlocking, and I do want the interlocking, and I like the interlocking. I like the script. I like it. I like it as an overarching brand for the athletic department. Right. Mm-hmm. I think the interlocking is what I want for football. But if you tell me that the state script is going to represent Mississippi State athletics as a whole, I like it. Okay. I can get behind that. So I was looking on the website on collegecornerstore.com, and they have some good interlocking gear. No question. They have got a ton of great looking state script polos.
Yes.
So I mean,
the state script on a polo looks
fantastic.
So good.
So maybe I'm being a little hypocritical here. If that's the case, so be it. But if you like the state script, I'm not going to hold that against you. I say the state script is not the banner M. All right. If you wear the banner M, I'm like, I don't like you. I don't like that.
If you're wearing state script, interlocking, or the M over S,
we're cool.
You're on a good. Cool.
So,
and some of those old logos too,
yeah.
I really like.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you're wearing a throwback, yeah, I'm all over it. So that said, I suggested you check out the selection at collegecornerstore.com or the two locations in Jackson, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowing by the Half Shell. They've got an incredible selection of state script polos, maroon, white, and they got some really cool black polos as well. So if you're a person that likes to wear the black polo with the state script, they've got some really great, cool shirts. Check those out, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starville's flagship restaurant, the best place in town to eat lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. I haven't done Tyler for lunch in quite some time. Maybe we need to do that this week. I'm just saying. I'm just saying is all.
Fine.
All right, then. So let it be written that Robbie Falk and Brian Haydad will dine at Restaurant Tyler for lunch this week. And Yes. It's not that we're being forced to. It's that we really, really want to, because it is the best lunch in town. I want to get a blue plate. I'm going to Restaurant Tyler. That's the way you should be thinking, too. If you want the best meal in town, it's not that hard to find. It's at Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. Let them show you how to invest, how to manage your money, and how to take care of, well, just about everything that you need to do financially. If you think that Priority One Bank's just a small community bank, well, you're kind of right, because they're going to treat you like the customers that you get there. They're going to treat you with that great small town feel and small town service. But you're also going to get the power of a big-time financial institution backing you up and taking care of your finances. Give them a call today. Talk to the people up there. Get to know them. Build a relationship that's going to last you for years and years to come. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Robbie, as you know, there are many people out there who think we are very, very negative.
Really?
And my guess is, I know. My guess is, Robbie, because for every, you know, if there's one thing I know about science, it's that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction, right? That means that somewhere out there, Robbie, there is someone who thinks we're too positive.
Oh, yes. There are a handful of people that think that way. I don't know how that happened, but yes.
If we say, wow, Mississippi State, they really struggled today. Y'all so negative. But if we come out and say something like, oh, Mississippi State looking pretty good here. Oh, okay, Pollyanna, calm down over there. You know, so I thought what we would do today is we would I feel like if you satisfy both of man's needs at one stop, he will beat a path to your door. So we're going to be positive and negative today. We are going to go through this schedule, the Mississippi State football schedule. And we're going to give you our best case and worst case scenarios for every possible game. And that doesn't just mean from the Mississippi State perspective. It can also mean from what's going on with these other teams. So let's get into it, Robbie, and we'll start off with the first one. Now, I will say this, with this Eastern Kentucky game, my worst-case scenario does not involve a loss. That is a nightmare scenario. That simply cannot be allowed to happen.
So on this, I can't just make this go by smoothly and just say the worst case scenario is Mississippi State losing the game. The best case scenario is winning the game.
That's not
what you're looking for here.
I'd like a little more depth if I could get it. Yeah.
Oh.
I know. I'm gonna make you work a little bit. Be all right.
Okay. Fine.
So the best case scenario is literally like 72-7. Like just absolute domination, flawless victory, never in doubt. State jumps out to a 28-point lead in the first quarter. They're scoring every time they get the ball. Chapin is hitting his receivers. He's something like he comes out in the early third quarter, something like 15-17 or something like that. Booth is breaking off big plays. Defensively, you're getting pressure. You're forcing turnovers. Everything looks the way it should look when a good SEC team plays an FCS team, dominant from start to finish. That's the best case scenario for me.
Yeah, like 68-0.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
and your defense is, you know, you're challenging the school record for sacks, and you have 4 or 5 interceptions. Mm-hmm. And that to me is the best case scenario.
Agreed. The worst case scenario is still a win and still a lot of points. But to me, the worst case scenario is that your fears about the defense look real and you win something like 63-28.
Very similar to my first NCAA game earlier, few days ago when I played that.
Offensively, everything's still really good, right? Crisp. You're never in doubt there. But you're just not getting enough stops. And you're giving up, you give up 3-4 touchdowns. You give up close to, 350 yards. And you're looking at it going, gosh, if an FCS team can do this, what are the SEC teams going to do? You walk out of there asking yourself that question. That's your worst case to me. If you lose, then I'm going to have to come on the show on Monday and just tell you, yeah, they hired the wrong guy. They just hired the wrong guy. I don't know what to tell
you. Just go ahead and throw in the towel.
I'm out.
You're done.
I'm out.
Brian being done is back.
Yeah. I would be totally done with that. But I'd be like, there's
no way. I think worst case scenario includes Mississippi State's offense struggling too. Because I think I could still say, this defense is just going to be – it's just going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just not going to be good all year. Because the offense still being really good is the hope, is the hope for the future. You know, you can always go get a new defensive coordinator or get better players on defense. If your offense stinks with the offensive guy, that's a problem. So that to me is that's included. That's included.
That score to something like 41-21 or something.
Or like if it's like 24-17.
Oh, come on now. Even last year they scored 48 on Southeast Louisiana.
You're saying worst case scenario that you can't say worst case scenario not include a bad offensive performance.
I just feel like that's almost improbable with an SEC team playing an SEC team. The point should be there.
It's not improbable though. We've seen it before.
Yeah, but that was with Kroom. He made the improbable probable.
Okay, are we going to do worst case scenario, like really worst case scenario, or what?
I mean, I get what you're saying, but gosh almighty, that's worst case. You're not wrong.
We have to be doomsday here. We have to be, if we're going to go worst case, we have to go worst case.
Do I need to make best case like super sunshine? Do I need to go like 102-7? I don't know.
Well, let's be a little. I mean, I know it's a little unrealistic to say like 24 points against an FCS school, but yeah. I think 100 is a little.
I mean, I don't disagree.
NCAA on freshman mode, you know.
Yeah. All right. Week two, I think best case is the sort of a similar win to what you had against Arizona on the road a couple of years ago, where the game. Maybe there's a moment or two where you're like, well, if they make a play here, they could get back in it. But for the most part, you're in control. You're able to move the ball on a team that shouldn't be very, very good. And defensively, you look, again, just competent in this one. You know, if you give up 21 points to Arizona State, I'm not overly plussed by it. But something like a final score of like 38-17, walking out of there with that kind of victory, that's best case. I don't think blowing them out on their home field is a real legit possibility or something I would put money on. But yeah, the idea that you can go in there and just control the game from start to finish, that's your best case to me.
I think best case could be blowing them out because I don't think their roster's been kind of a mess. You know, they had all the stuff with Herm Edwards and stuff that they're coming back from, and I know that they're trying to take steps in that right direction. If you went in there and you just handle business, I think that is best case scenario. You go in there, you don't have – there were moments in that Arizona game a couple years ago where you're sitting there going, are they going to blow this or are they going to get blown out? Like early in the ball game, that did not look good. If State came into that ball game and from start to finish was just in control, I think that's best case scenario. I don't know what that looks like as far as the score, but you never feel threatened in that ball game. You will look like the SEC team that you're supposed to be. That's best case scenario for me in that game against a team that has a lot more question marks than Mississippi State does.
The worst case scenario is a loss.
Yes.
I mean, it's
however it happens.
Yeah.
Because at that point, we've basically said that Mississippi State is winning their four non-conference games.
Mm-hmm.
That changes the entire trajectory of the season.
Exactly.
And yeah. Getting to six wins becomes a lot bigger of a chore. And I don't think it's impossible because I do think this team's going to get better and better as the year goes on. And there's going to be some of these moments early where they don't look in sync, things like that. You need to be 3-0 heading into SEC play.
Agreed. So, yeah, it doesn't matter what the loss is, 1 point or 20 points, a loss is the worst case scenario.
Yep.
Toledo is kind of Eastern Kentucky light for me. All right. Toledo's a better team, better coached for sure. Jason Candle's an outstanding coach. But just winning this game, it's kind of the same way you beat, was it Bowling Green they played 2 years ago under Mike Leach? Something like that. I think the final was like 45-14. I could see Toledo getting an extra touchdown and maybe you win like 45-21. But to me, again, just an easy, comfortable, no doubt win. That's your best case.
And at that point, if they hit best case scenario in the first two games as well, you probably have a really good crowd at this.
Yeah.
Even with it being Toledo, people are starting to get excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you leave no doubt here, it really has you ramping into that Florida week with a lot of momentum, fan base is pumped, and people are ready for that Florida game, even for an 11 a.m. kick. I mean, you're looking at a packed house for that.
I think you're right. I think you're right. Our worst case here, again, I don't think it's a loss, although, I mean, it could happen. But I think your realistic worst case is just a game you've got to grind out all the way to the fourth quarter, and maybe you win by seven or less.
Bowling Green 2013.
Yeah. Good call. Or, I mean,
Samford 2016.
God, that was the most improbable game. I mean, of course, there was a loss, you know, the South Alabama game a couple years ago. Gosh, it's been 8 years now. You know, when State played USM in 2015, Dak Senior, that game was in Hattiesburg was closer than it probably should have been.
Nobody was ever happy I know they won by two or three touchdowns, but nobody was ever happy in that game.
No, that game, I mean, USM got out to a lead and it was just weird. Of course, you kick a game off at 9 o'clock at night. I guess that's what happens.
That's what kind of worries me about that Arizona State game. But
yeah, but it's a little different because 9 o'clock here is it's still daytime out there, so it's a little different. But it's not. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. Best case, easy blowout win. Worst case, win, but like 31-28 or something like that.
Ooh. Yeah, that would be.
I mean, that's ugly. That's
yeah.
So and loss isn't 100% off the table, but the percentages are really, 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 really low.
I mean, 98%.
Yeah, 98.5.
It's one of those deals where you have SEC athletes and they don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just the talent differential is so high. It's tough for those teams. It's going to get tougher for those teams to win.
All right, Florida. Best case scenario is just a win, right? Doesn't really matter by how much. If you win this game, you're 4-0. That's the best case scenario. You know,
I think at this point, if you win any SEC game, it's going to be best case scenario. I don't think it's there's any style points that you're looking for. Just win. You can find the win anywhere.
The true best case scenario is Florida coming into this game 1-2.
Yeah.
They will have already lost to Miami and to Texas A&M at that point.
And they're starting to...
They would come in starting to fall apart at the cracks there.
Like, is there a chance that Billy Napier gets levied?
I have a theory on that. So, with Florida, that would be Strickland's third football coach, right? I don't think he gets three. You messed up the first.
You've been adamant on that. I don't know that I disagree. I think at that point they're saying this.
If they lose to State and they're 1-3 at that point, which is what I have them going, I think they can Strickland after this game, and they give a new AD. They give themselves a month plus to get a new AD in, and then after they play, where is it? The week before they play Georgia, which is a month later. That's when they fire Napier after Kentucky and get a new head coach, get an interim coach in there and let the AD have 2 months to get his search together.
They can pick from the 150 staff members that Billy Napier's hired.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's the fan base's pulse on Strickland? I don't know.
They don't like him.
They don't?
I've read some stuff. They feel like he's not NIL friendly enough. He's putting money into facilities that doesn't need to be happening. He's asking for money for facilities when they need to be getting their NIL going.
Yeah, which was his thing at Mississippi State was facility upgrades.
Yeah,
because he was kind of behind Diddy Noble. I think he was behind Davis Wade. Yeah.
So there you go. So best case is 4-0. Worst case is 2-2 at this point. Is what we're saying.
Right. Okay. And you know your offense, you face the first team in the SEC on your schedule, and your offense isn't moving the ball. They're struggling. It's kind of Joe Moorhead-esque when Florida came to Starkville last. That would be worst case.
Yeah.
Because then people are going to say, this feels like Joe Moorhead.
So then where are we here? At Texas. Okay. I can't get on board with best case being a win. I can't. But best case
not yet.
Is this game is similar to what Ole Miss did to Alabama Kiffin's first year, where you're just in the game the whole time, you're scoring, and you just can't get enough stops, and they win the game. I mean, if you lose this game, something like 48-35, something like that, I think everybody's pleased. I think everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it happens, you know?
Maybe not giving up 60-plus. I don't think State fans could get on board with giving up 60 plus like Ole Miss did. Ole Miss didn't care about what Alabama was doing. They were pumped because they were scoring as much as they were. I don't know if State fans would get on board with that. They would be talking about how many points the defense was giving up.
Right.
So, I mean, can it be, you know, 38-28 or 38-31 or something?
So that, you would take 45-31?
I think I would start talking about, like, hey, this offense I think is legit. You can go to Austin, Texas and put up, you know, four touchdowns on a really good Texas team. I think that would make me happy. I'm just talking about, you know, the fan base. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know if that's best case scenario. I mean, best case scenario might be in the ball game in the final 5 minutes.
Okay.
You know, you have the ball or something with a chance to tie. That might be best case.
Worst case is just getting run off the field from start to finish. You know, losing something. Basically losing this game the way State has lost to Alabama over the last decade. You know, where it's just not only is it not close, you're never in the game at any point. You look up, you blink, it's 21-0.
45-3.
Yeah, something like that. Something really that's your worst case. There's no question. All right. Bye week. Then you got to go to Georgia. All right, so here's the best case for me. Georgia the next week plays at Texas. They are going to be looking ahead. So the best case to me is actually leading the game at some point. Like, you just catch them napping a little bit. They're like, and the announcer's like, Georgia looks like they're looking ahead. They're not prepared for this Mississippi State thing. And do you end up winning the game? No. No, you
14
don't.
To 7 early or something.
Yeah, like, just get them early.
Like the 2020 game.
Yeah. Something like that.
I don't even know if it can be like that, but you know, State was in that ball game. They were trading blows, and we were sitting there thinking, you know, this freshman group is going to be really good. Like, they went on the road with 43 players or whatever it was, and they had a chance to win the game late. I don't know if State can do that, but it's really incredible also that they're playing at Texas and at Georgia in back-to-back games. Like, I know they have a week in between, but that's insane to me.
Yeah.
But can you just be in the game in the first half? Can you go into the locker room and you're down by 7?
Yes. I would take that right now. I would
even if they lose by like 3 touchdowns. Like, yes. If it's 42-21,
but it was 21-14 at the half. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll take it. You'll take it. Worst case is the same thing we just said. It's basically what your last 5 trips to Athens have been. Just total blow.
Yeah.
So, all right. Best case for Texas A&M is a win. I'll say that. That's your best case, that you get an A&M team that is still kind of playing under its talent level, and you get a crowd that's, you know, I mean, that's a chance to be a night game, if I'm correct, right?
It is. It's 2:30 or 7.
Yeah, so let's say the best case is you get the 7 o'clock game, A&M comes in at this point, they should be, I have them at 5-1 coming into this game, but let's just say they're 5-1, 4-2. If they're 4-2, they lose to Notre Dame that first game, right? And, you know, they're trying to figure things out, and they just come into Starkville, and you got a good game plan, and you find a way to win the game. It's the same way you've beaten A&M the past, you know, every time you've played them. A&M's always come into Starkville with a more talented team, but they haven't always walked off the field with the win. So it's the same pattern there. So your best case is to somehow get a W over the Aggies.
This is my game that could be the statement win in year one. And if you look back at almost every single coach that Mississippi State's had, at least in my lifetime at least, when you look at Rocky Felker, Jackie Sherrill, that crew – almost every single coach, I think every single coach, even Zach Arnett, you can make a case that Arizona game was a marquee win for him. Every coach has had that, like, top 25 win or big win to kind of look back and say, this was big for us. You know, Rocky Felker, they had some big wins early that season. They went to Syracuse and won. Jackie Sherrill beat Texas in year one. Even Sylvester Croom with that win against Florida. This could be the win for Jeff Lebby in year one. That's like, all right, we're building on something here.
Jackie had Texas. Croom had Florida. Mullen had, I guess it's
Ole Miss.
Yeah. Almost had LSU.
Yeah.
Moorhead, no. Well, more, you know, I say that.
Yeah. Auburn was a top 10
Auburn and A&M were both ranked, and State beat them. So, okay, I'll give them that. Leach obviously got LSU.
Yeah.
Barnett, I mean, I guess you could say Arizona.
That's what I'm saying. Like that. Yeah. At the time, I know it doesn't add up. But if you look back and you say that, I mean, actually, that was a really good non-conference win.
Yeah. Okay.
This could be every single coach has had that game.
I agree. And Lebby will have a chance to have one. This isn't mine, but I agree. But he could win this game.
It's either this one or Missouri.
Yeah.
I think. What? Are you going to go there?
We'll get there eventually.
I'm not going there yet.
The worst case scenario is that you just get handled in this game and you lose something like 38-17 or something like that.
Against a team that
when
they've come to Starkville, you've had a chance or you've beaten them.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
This has been a team that you've done really well against at home.
So we said best case for any SEC game was just a win. I'm going to disagree with you. Best case is to handle Arkansas. I don't think Arkansas is very good. You play them at home, you should be able to beat them easily. I think winning this game by 17-plus is your best case for this game.
It kind of depends for me on where you're at right now. If you've lost three or four straight games, just winning this game is best case scenario because it gets you back on track for having a chance to get to a bowl game. Because if you win those other three games, you win this one, you beat UMass, you're looking for one more win in the next three games. So that really is the question. Now, if you beat Florida, which we think is a possibility, then yeah, I think I might be, and even Texas A&M, I think I might be at the point where I'm like, if this is close, then you've taken a step back a little bit. You need to start putting the hammer down, because if you beat A&M and then you beat Arkansas and you beat UMass, the whole season is changing for you. You're starting to look at seven wins at this point. You're starting to try to find some big wins down the stretch and really kind of elevate your program beyond what you thought it would be. So it really depends coming in what the first six games mm-hmm. have looked like.
Yeah, if you're 4-2, you've still got a lot to play for at this point. Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
Now, if our worst case is correct and State at this point is 2-4, then it's probably going to go south pretty quickly here.
Yeah.
So, all right.
And we both agree it's just worst case.
2-5. It'll be 2-5 coming in.
Yes, it's seven games.
Yeah.
So, we both agree worst case is losing to this Arkansas team.
Yeah, that's a possibility. It's a very real possibility. You know, in fact, I would tell you that as we sit here today, I mean, State to me is favored in that game, but they should be favored not by a lot.
I just don't like. I look at that game and like even being objective, like I feel like State's going to score a bunch of points. What Arkansas's offense outside of Kendall Briles has been bad since. Was it Dan Enos the first time that they had the offense that was pretty productive with Brandon Allen, those guys? It's been pretty much bad since then. You know, like 2017, I guess, it started going down. And then you had the couple years with Kendall Briles. Every other year, it's been bad. I don't have high expectations for it this year. State should win this game. And they should win it offensively and doing enough on defense. It should be comfortable. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, then who knows?
All right. So our best case has State. I mean, we're pie in the sky at 6-2. There's no question about that. But that's what we'd have.
But that is saying best case.
Our worst case is 2-6. My guess is, Robbie, in reality, they're somewhere in the middle, right? They're probably 5-3 or maybe 4-4 at this point.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Sorry. UMass, again, you know, your best case, kind of similar to the two. Well, UMass is the second easiest game, right? It's a tick above Eastern Kentucky, but it is below Toledo. I think Toledo is a better team than UMass. So winning this game just super easily would be the best case. And the worst case would be a game where you struggle to win.
Yeah.
Simple as that.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah. All right. At Tennessee. Now, here's the thing. Tennessee, kind of the same thing we were just talking about with Georgia. Tennessee hosts Georgia the next week. Now, I have Tennessee undefeated playing this football game. I could be wrong. They could lose to Alabama. They might lose at Oklahoma. I don't know. But those are probably the only two losses they have. Let's give them one. So they come into that game knowing they've got to beat Georgia. I guess they don't have to beat Georgia. They probably still know that they're going to be a playoff team. But they're going to be definitely looking ahead to Georgia in that game. So, again, your best-case scenario is to catch them napping early, I think, and just make it a game for the first half. They'll probably pull away in the second half. But, can State just play these teams, these highly-ranked teams, and just be competitive?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for here.
I just want to see the offense, like, holding its own against these teams and being able to go up and down the field and score points. That's what you're looking for. Because Tennessee is going to score points on State's defense, and Georgia is going to do that from Texas. All three of those are going to score probably in the 30s at the very least. That's just being realistic. Can you kind of match their blows for a couple of quarters? It might not last for four quarters, but just stay in the fight for a couple of quarters and see what happens.
Worst case is just getting blown off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
I don't actually
just
I
like the
worst
other
case three. Might be the game that State played at Tennessee in 2019. Just the most awful game ever. But yeah, the worst case is losing something like 52-14 or something.
I feel like we've seen the most awful game ever like 10 times in the last 6 years.
I have seen the worst game ever for Mississippi State ever against Auburn, Arkansas, Ole Miss. Who would you say? Tennessee. I'm trying to think my way around a few others. I mean, South Carolina in 06 was really, really not fun to watch. I mean, I've just seen a bunch.
Like 15 to nothing or whatever it was.
Yeah. All right. So off and then Missouri at home. This is a game that, again, best case here is first off is that Missouri has blown it and they has blown it, right? That they lost Alabama, they lost Oklahoma, maybe they lose to Texas A&M. They're not in playoff contention anymore. And you catch them just not really. You catch them with their give a damn a little bit low.
Yeah,
and you can find a way to win that game at home. That's your best.
Because I think that's what happened with. I mean, totally different circumstances, but I think that's what happened with Arkansas last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was State played so terrible in that game against Arkansas, but Arkansas could not care any less. That it was just, you know, you and I could have gone out there and we might have gotten a first down or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, again, totally different scenario here. It's not that, you know, Missouri is having that awful of a season like Arkansas. It's just that their goals are kind of eliminated at this point. They don't have – their aspirations for the playoffs are basically gone. And, they're starting, like I always say, like point the finger at each other and you have some animosity maybe in the locker room or whatever. That's what you're looking for here. And, even with all things equal, I still think this is a game that I would put Missouri on upset alert.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good team, but I don't think they're at the point of Alabama, Texas, Georgia, teams like that, Tennessee. They have the talent level that they can just come in there and just kind of do their thing. You know, if they're not playing their best, Mississippi State could easily beat them. Mm-hmm. Only the talent level is that different between the two teams. So I think this is going to be a good game anyway.
Yeah.
Best case scenario is you blow them out like you did in 2020, basically.
Ooh, that seems like a lot to add. That's a real best case scenario. Now, this is a good team. I think just winning would be good enough.
They are a good team, but again, I don't think that we're talking about a massive talent differential between these two teams. That's kind of my point. Is
okay. I get what you're saying.
It's not like, I mean, this isn't a Missouri team that each and every year is signing top 15 classes. State can easily make up with a good scheme. They can easily make up ground against a team like this. So I do think that's a game in a best-case scenario situation. Things are falling apart for Missouri and things are clicking on all cylinders. We've seen it before in the SEC where teams go on the road and it's just a nightmare. I could see that. I'm not predicting it. I'm just saying we're calling best-case scenario here. I don't think best-case scenario is State winning by 3 points. You know, I think they could win this game by, you know, a couple of touchdowns and be firmly in control or whatever.
Last one's the Egg Bowl. The best case is this, that Ole Miss comes in with two losses, all right, that they've lost to Georgia and either LSU or Oklahoma, right? And they have to win this game to go to the playoff. And you put them under pressure, all right? I feel like just me personally, the concept of they've already lost three games and they're already out, I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like that's not going to happen.
That would mean like injuries galore, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jackson Dart's out.
If that did happen, if they came in with three losses already and like they're not going to make the playoff, then you might get them given up at that point. You might get some people saying the hell with it.
Like Missouri.
Yeah, but with Ole Miss, it I think they come in with let's say they come in with two losses. So you've got the pressure on them. They've got to win. And you just find out that Lebby was the brains behind the operation, and you find a way, the same way Mullen did his first year, to get the big upset. Now, that one was in Starkville, and this one's in Oxford. But State's had a lot of success in Oxford. They've won, I think, three of the last four up there, and with three different coaches. So I keep going back to the Egg Bowl with last year, where, like, that's the worst State team in a decade. That's the best Ole Miss team in a decade. And State lost by 10, and they were down three going into the fourth quarter. They were in the game. So the best case
scenario, if they could have done anything on offense, they could have won that.
The best case scenario is finding a way to put the turd in the punch bowl for the Ole Miss season and to beat them in Oxford. The worst case is they come in and they embrace that pet pressure and they win this game and they really, really rub it in your face. And you find out that Kiffin and Lebby, they don't get along, and Kiffin's, while he's got him on the ropes, throws some punches at him, and you lose big. That's your worst case.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I think, first of all, that is your I'm not even going to use the term that I want to use. That's your dream, is Mississippi State doing what they do in that ball game. If that scenario comes into play.
Yes.
But yeah, like that would be the ultimate.
Don't miss Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday if that happens.
That would be the ultimate kick in the nads for Ole Miss fans. You're on the cusp of, we've hit the best case scenarios for Mississippi State, and State is like, they have six wins already, or they have seven wins. I think the key in this situation is Mississippi State already has bowl eligibility locked up. So anything that happens in this game is gravy. So say State has six wins. They're playing a 9-win Ole Miss team, right?
Yeah.
9-2 at that point.
Yeah.
I actually think State has the ball in their favor there. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, Ole Miss is going to have all the pressure on them. State has nothing to lose. They're playing on the road. They've already wrapped up bowl eligibility. Ole Miss is playing for a playoff spot. It's very similar, with the exception of the change of location here. It's very similar. Or maybe it might be kind of similar to 2017.
Yeah.
For Mississippi State and Ole Miss.
Yeah, that's just flipped, though.
Yeah. But, you know, Ole Miss came to Starkville. They had nothing to lose.
And no pressure, yeah.
You know, State was trying to get, I think, the Sugar Bowl or something.
They would have gone to a top-tier
access bowl,
like the Peach Bowl or something like that, yeah.
And then State, like in 2014, you know, State goes to Oxford.
Under pressure.
Ole Miss had no pressure. Everybody said they're going to lose. They had a quarterback limping around.
Yeah.
That's what you need to happen. You need to have no pressure going into this ball game. And Ole Miss has to be on the cusp of a playoff.
So our best case scenario, Robbie, believe it or not, was 10-2. That feels a little optimistic, even for best case scenario. Our worst case scenario would have been 3-9.
Ooh.
Again, that feels a little even negative for worst case. The truth is in the middle, and that's why if you say 5-7, 6-6, I could even defend you if you said 7-5. But it feels like 6-6 is going to be the number. So I feel like you get those four non-conference, and then you can find a way to beat Florida and beat Arkansas. And then anything else over that is just extra pie at Thanksgiving. So, there you go.
What kind of pie?
Knowing you, apple. You want apple. The apple pie?
I mean, I would take it. I don't get apple pie much at Thanksgiving. The Thanksgiving pies are like – pecan pie, mm-hmm. pumpkin pie.
Mm-hmm. Jennifer always makes a chocolate cream pie, so
I would be okay with that. Yeah. Pecan pie would probably be my.
All right.
Would be my choice.
Ice cream? Yay or nay on that?
I'll take it if it's there.
All right, I got to have a scoop of vanilla on top of pecan pie.
I mean, I'm not going to turn it down.
All right, we're all on the same page. All right, let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends.
That was a long segment there.
Well, I knew it was going to be. We previewed 12 games.
Yeah.
Brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. We'll fly through the A&M stuff. Yeah, this weekend, any weekend, it's grilling season, man. It's sunny outside. It's hot. That's why grilling a steak is great. But you get light the coals, go inside. Come back outside, dump the coals, get the grill up to temp. You're still back inside while you wait on that. Come outside, sear the steaks, flip them once. We're talking about you may have spent 15 minutes outside in the heat, and yet you've got a fantastic grilled steak right there to enjoy. So I had some steaks for dinner tonight. They were fantastic, and I couldn't be happier right this second. So,
congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Beef, it's what's for dinner. It was what was for my dinner. Thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You're looking for smoked wings, tacos, pulled pork grilled cheese, prime rib sandwich, maybe some pork rind nachos. Oh, yeah. So, don't waste your time. Go to Two Brothers Smoked Meats. But if you're in the mood for something else, you know, I feel like also that Brian Johnson would be like, I got a fancy sandwich. Yeah.
Like, would he be down with a muffaletta?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think he would. Yeah.
What kind of Australian sandwiches are there? Or he's from like Scotland or Wales or something.
Yeah, he's not Australian, I don't think. Is he?
Now, no.
Now I got to look. I got to be sure. The rest of the band is.
I'm almost positive he's from like Wales or.
He is from. Where is he? He was born in Dunstan in the United Kingdom. So where is that? Dunstan is, it's not in Wales. Yeah, that's like North England. So yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, fancy sandwich, delicious. The older brother.
What's a English sandwich? You're a Premier League soccer guy. You should know.
I am. Well, you know, the sandwich was invented in England by the Earl of Sandwich. So, like a good roast beef sandwich would be very British, I think. Trying to think, like, what are the Brits?
The BLT? There's no way this is correct.
The BLT is not a no chance. No way I'm buying that as a British
BLT sandwich. Is Britain's best loved sandwich. 28% of the people polled in Britain said BLT, followed by chicken salad and tuna mayonnaise.
Who knew that England was the same as Mississippi?
Well, how much money would it take for you to eat a tuna mayonnaise sandwich?
A lot.
What are we talking here?
A lot. Five figures?
Five figures?
Yeah, $10,000. I'll eat it.
It would take that much?
I'm going to throw it all up, man. It's going to be gross. I'm not going to be happy about that. I'm
going to
douse that thing in hot sauce, too.
I ate a bunch of tuna mayonnaise sandwiches whenever I was growing up in Louisville.
Yeah, I'm going to get some of that ghost pepper sauce I have. I'm just going to – I don't want to taste anything.
Just get it to numb your mouth.
Yeah, I'd rather have the pain than the taste of mayonnaise and tuna. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 49 years. 49 years of taking care of their customers with service after the sale. Anybody can sell you a copier. Anybody can sell you a printer. Who takes care of you when things don't go right? That's the question. That's the business you're going to go back to. That's what Advantage Business System has been doing the whole time they've been in business. 49 years. I mean, that kind of speaks for itself at this point. Guys, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers for your business, give them a call. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Our friends at Marunico reached out to us. They wanted to let us know they got a shipment coming in of brand new merchandise, stuff you cannot find anywhere else. Great looking stuff that you're going to want to wear to Davis Wade Stadium this fall. If you want to look like the coaches, you want to wear the Bulldog Initiative gear, only available to you at Maroon & Co. And don't forget our promo code. You can save a little money. Thunder 15, 15% off all regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to Davis Wade Stadium this fall, you got to go to Maroon & Co. All right, let's get through this Texas A&M preview here. I like the Aggies this year. I think they're going to be okay. I like Mike Elko. I think he's a real football coach. I think there's no team in the conference, to me, Robbie, that has like more off of their back than Texas A&M, right? Like this time last year, we were all just looking at A&M going, they can't wait to fire Jimbo Fisher. They just can't wait to do it. And now I feel like it really is a breath of fresh air over there. So I like the Aggies. I like them.
I feel a lot different about this program without Jimbo Fisher. Not to the point that I think they're ready to win a national championship,
right.
But I just feel like they're going to be less of a train wreck. Really isn't the word, but you know, a constant like, what are they doing with this money, and why are they not able to reach their potential? Things like that. I think they're going to be more in the mix regularly than they have been under Jimbo Fisher. Outside of COVID, which is weird because that was the year that they played nothing but SEC schools, they were just incredibly average in comparison to, you know, their roster and the money they had to spend under Jimbo Fisher.
Mm-hmm.
I think Elko is going to have them running a much more tight ship, and I think especially offensively, I think you're going to see a team that's not going to be as confused as they were under Jimbo Fisher.
What's funny about A&M this year is if they go 8-4, it feels completely different than an 8-4 under Jimbo Fisher.
Yeah.
Like they go 8-4, you're like, all right, they're going in the right direction. Whereas with Jimbo, they're like, they suck. So it really is a great situation for them.
Although that schedule is like pretty manageable.
It's manageable. The first game's tough. And I it's easily to me the best week one game. Notre Dame coming to College Station. That should be a great spectacle. Fantastic game. It's a night game in College Station. Buddy, I got the Aggies getting off to a great start. I think they're going to take the Irish down.
Yeah, I think playing at home, I don't really believe in Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I think this is a very manageable game for them.
All right. Win in week two against McNeese, and then they're at Florida. That's a tough place to play, but I don't believe in the Gators. I think A&M is going to get off to a really good start here. I've got them winning this game.
I can't remember what I picked this and with the Florida, but I'm pretty sure that I picked A&M.
All right.
I just want to stay consistent when I'm making these picks.
I'm pretty sure I think you picked Florida. I picked A&M, so. All right,
because I think I have a Florida like with four wins.
Yeah, you did.
So I don't think that was one of them.
I've got Bowling. Are they going to play Bowling Green next? That's a win, and then they have the game against Arkansas, of course, being played in Jerry World. Buddy, I've got the Aggies starting off 5-0.
Arkansas always finds a way to lose this game.
They do.
Yep, I'm going with A&M.
All right.
Aren't they moving this back to the campus?
Yeah, I think this is the last year. I think this is the last year. It's coming up soon, yeah.
It makes no sense for this game to be played in Arlington.
So all of a sudden, this is a monster college football game. You should have 5-0 Texas A&M hosting 4-0 Missouri. Should be close to a top 10 matchup. It'll definitely be a top 15 matchup. I have the Tigers winning this one. I have Missouri getting this win.
This is a tricky one. I still think that there's some question marks with Missouri. I haven't seen enough of them consistently outside of what they did last year to really truly believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on the road, tough environment. I think I might go with A&M.
Wow. So you've got A&M 6-0.
I'm looking at the schedule, man. Like it's...
You've got
it's
them rolling.
Not a bad schedule. And well, nobody's really talking about them.
I'm just going to let you know that if they're 6-0 at this point, you are setting up a titanic game at the end of the season.
Yeah, it kind of, you know, and also like when you look at this game too, you look at this game too for Mississippi State. We just said best case scenario for State is winning this ball game.
Yeah, I don't think you're winning if A&M comes in 6-0.
I mean, at that point, A&M's top five in the country.
Yes, yes.
And it becomes a much tougher task for Mississippi State. But
so I have them beating State. The next week they host LSU. I have them winning that game.
Yeah, at home, LSU still has some question marks. I'm going with A&M too.
All right. Then at South Carolina, that's a win for the Aggies.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got them.
They only have one loss.
You've got them 9-0. I have them 8-1.
No, they don't have any losses for me. Yeah, you're right.
All right. Off week.
Oh, my God.
They host New Mexico State. That's a dub. I have them losing at Auburn.
I think you're going to lose there, too.
Ooh. Oh, no, no, Robbie. Come on. You got to commit now. You got to give me A&M versus Texas undefeated. Come on.
I picked Texas to have, like, one loss. I can't have Texas in Texas A&M with only one loss or undefeated.
Yeah.
That South Texas guy who listens to this daily and was just, like, outraged that we had Texas at, like, 12-0 or whatever, he is going to lose his mind when he hears this.
Yeah. I have them losing to Auburn, so they would be 9-2. And then I have them losing to Texas to finish 9-3.
Okay, I got them with two losses.
So you have them 10-2.
Yeah.
Robbie, I'm just going to go tell you right now, if my prediction for Texas is correct, and your prediction for Texas A&M was a little different, and we could get undefeated Texas versus undefeated Texas A&M, dude, that would
be incredible. I mean, one loss A&M.
All of the Texas power grid problems would be solved because just the hate would fuel that state for a decade.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
But yeah, it would be insane.
That's a fantastic first year. You feel like you let one get away with Auburn, and you're not happy that you lost to Texas, but you're 9-3, you're probably 10-3 in the bowl game. That's a great first year for Micah.
We probably haven't been as, like, careful with how we're predicting some of this stuff. We're just looking at it and
I have mine written down at least, so I feel like I'm consistent.
But I feel like we have a whole lot of teams that are going to be sitting there with one loss or two losses.
Thing, though, with the way the schedule is this year, and you're so many teams are missing Alabama or missing Georgia or missing Texas, that you have the potential. I mean, I know that my schedule is correct because I did it on the helmet schedule, and I have an undefeated team, 3 11-1 teams, 2 10-2 teams, and a 2 9-3 teams, and it works.
Yeah,
so
that's gonna be wild, man. I mean, that's
gonna be fun.
Right. It's gonna be a really competitive year in the league.
Speaking of fun, the opposite of that is we have Vanderbilt next week.
Yay!
Talk about the Commodores on next week's show. Then we finish up with Ole Miss and then Mississippi State. All right, guys, have a great Tuesday. What are we doing tomorrow? Can you record like at 8 a.m.?
Yeah, probably I could.
All right,
if you want to.
All right, well, we can do that then. So
we're just not doing the rumblings.
No rumblings though. We'll just have to do some other stuff. All right, we'll do that on tomorrow. So we will have a Wednesday podcast, but it will not be the rumblings. Guys, have a great Tuesday. Back with you on Wednesday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.